Let's start with a word of prayer and then we'll jump right in. Lord, we thank you so much for the time that we're able to spend together and fellowship around your word. I pray that as we do so, that we will be edified by it and that we will learn more and more. We thank you again for your word and for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this evening. If you will, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And this evening we're going to talk about thanks. And we're going to talk about giving of thanks and thanksgiving in this present evil world. But I want to start off by looking at Ephesians chapter 5 and kind of asking a question. And as we look at this verse and we kind of ask the question, as we go through this evening and we look at these verses, I think we're going to answer that question. But in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." If you just stop right there and you look at those, you've been given a long list of bad things, right? Things that we're not supposed to participate in, things that we should be staying away from. And in contrast to those things, you look at that list and you see this list of five or six things, and then he says, "But rather giving of thanks." So instead of doing all these things, just give thanks. And that's a simple way to get rid of all those things, according to the scriptures there. But if you think about it for a second, it makes you scratch your head for a minute and say, how does giving of thanks, what does thanks have to do with all those different things? And why is thanks important? We know that giving of thanks is important. We're commanded to give thanks all throughout the scriptures and all throughout the Pauline epistles. If you look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, we're just going to look at some verses that you all know quickly here, just to establish some of these verses. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So there, whatsoever we do. Where does it tell us that in all things we're supposed to give thanks? First Thessalonians 5, good. But Philippians tells us in Philippians chapter 4 that our prayer life is supposed to be saturated with thanksgiving. So we see these things, and sometimes when you look at the scriptures and you see things, for example, like love, you think, oh, love, it's all throughout the scriptures, it's a simple thing, it's something easy to understand. And I think sometimes we look at giving it thanks like that, it's there, it's so much there that we don't even bother taking a second look at it and seeing how it affects us on a day-to-day basis. But not only how it affects us on a day-to-day basis, but does it have a dispensational significance? And if it has a dispensational significance, what is it? So we're going to dig deep there and look at those things. When you go to Psalms, and Psalms 92 tells us it's good to give thanks unto the Lord, but what I want you to do is go to Psalms 106 right now. And I just want to lay this out as a quick basis, as when you look at the Old Testament and you study thanks and giving of thanks, you can't help notice but this phrase, and Psalm 106 is an easy place to find it. Verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." So there it tells us to give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because we have stuff? No. Why? Because He's good and His mercy endureth forever. Do you know how many times that exact phrase occurs in the Old Testament? About 7. And what's fascinating about that, if you were going to go search the scriptures and you say, what's the most important reason, and you're going to limit your search to the Old Testament, that I should give thanks, it's just because God is good and His mercy endureth forever. The thanks is based on who He is. And that's an important thing to remember as we go through this today, and I'm going to reference back to that several times. But now what I want you to do is I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And let's dig in here a little bit and get into what I'd really like to look at. that has to do with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says this. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Now, when you look at those verses right there, it talks about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and everybody always wants to know, what do the seducing spirits do? What are the doctrines? What are the doctrines of devils? Well, you just read and it tells you, right? It tells you right there. But my first question to you is this. If I was going to say which comes first, latter or last, which would you tell me? Latter. Okay. So this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4 is telling us that these things are going to happen in the latter days, right? Now, is there a place in the Scriptures very close by, maybe one book over, that tells us what's going to happen in the last days?
Yes.
Yes. And when it says last days, what last days are we talking about here? Last days of the dispensation of the grace of God, right? So 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And we're reading this just to, I want you to see what pops up here in both places, because it should be curious and it should make you scratch your head. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." So there we get a little bit of progression here, because we saw what the latter days are going to look like, and now we see what the last days are look like. And here you have another list somewhat similar to Ephesians chapter 5, where you have a whole bunch of bad things. But what's right smack dab in the middle of that list? Unthankful. And it comes directly before unholy. So when you look at these things and you look at these lists, you say these are real bad things, and then all of a sudden it says unthankful. Another thing I want you to notice about the two lists between the latter days and the last times here that it's talking about is that both have to do with religion, right? I mean, most people look at this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and they say, well, it's talking about the last days. Those people don't sound religious. They're lovers of their own selves. They're covetous. They're boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemers. That's true, but verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So what you see in both of these lists is you see that this religious activity that's going on, but nothing's really happening that's spiritual. And you see that it gets progressively worse from the latter days unto what? The last days. But smack dab in the middle of both of those is thankfulness. And thankfulness is the key to both of those things. But go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. As you're turning there, I just want to remind you that we were asking why the question we were originally asking came from Ephesians chapter 5, of why is giving of thanks given in contrast to the list that contains fornication and jesting and all those things? Why is thankfulness there? So that's kind of the question we're trying to answer here. But 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." You need to notice there that that people are going to depart from what? The faith. "Speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Now, at the heart of this, look at verse 3. "Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So thanksgiving is mentioned in verse 3, and it's mentioned in verse 4 as extremely important to the issue here. And in verse 5, it tells us that what they're commanding you to abstain from is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. Now, when you look at that at first, some people get confused by that passage and they say, this is really odd. How can my food be sanctified by the word of God and prayer? When I pray, does the chemical composition of the food change to bless it to my body in some way, shape, or form? Well, no. But it says it's sanctified by the word of God. So what does that mean? Said it's set apart by the word of God and prayer. So how is it set apart by prayer? What does prayer do to my food? That's the giving of thanks, right? Because if you look back at verse 3, it says, it's to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So the Word of God says it's okay, and you can participate in eating it if you give thanks. So it's sanctified by the Word of God and by prayer. Is there any other place that Paul writes about thanks and food? No. No. Is there? Romans chapter 14. Go to Romans chapter 14. So when you study 1 Timothy chapter 4 and you say, what's this talking about? And you start scratching your head and saying, why is Thanksgiving in here? What does it matter about the food and what's going on here? What's going on? You should think Romans chapter 14 and go to Romans chapter 14, because in Romans chapter 14, we have the issue of meat sacrifice to idols. And many talk about this chapter being the Christian liberty chapter, but it starts off in Romans chapter 14, verse 1. It says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he made all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, start paying attention here if you've been ignoring me. Just pay attention now. We get to verse 6. It says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth it not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God what? And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and does what? Giveth God thanks. So when you're having this issue with the meat sacrifice to idols and you're going to partake or you're not going to partake, what's the issue there that you need to be paying attention to? Giving thanks. If you don't eat, what should you do? Give thanks. If you do eat, what should you do? Give thanks. Do you see how that lines up with 1 Timothy chapter 4? Because there we have doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. And what they're doing is they're corrupting the liberty that you find in Romans chapter 14 to make your own decisions and eat, giving God thanks and giving God the glory. Essentially, go down in Romans chapter 14 to verse 17. It says, when he gets to the bottom of this, he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are those things we can give thanks for? Absolutely. But think about this. When you get to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and there's seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they're forbidding you to marry and commanding you to abstain from meats, what have they just done to the kingdom of God according to Romans chapter 14 verse 17? They made it about meat and drink. Right? And if you're going to make it about meat and drink, what have you taken away from it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What that tells you is that Thanksgiving isn't just this thing that we celebrate once a year where we should sit down at a table and say, thank you for my job, thank you for this. We should say thank you for those things. We should say thank you for those things every day. But it shows you that the giving of thanks actually has doctrinal and spiritual importance in your life that is probably you haven't been paying attention to as much as we should. And when you take that thinking back a little bit to Ephesians chapter 5, we start to get an idea of why Ephesians chapter 5 says, don't participate in this list, but do participate in the giving of thanks. Because what it tells you, and go back to Ephesians chapter 5 as we keep looking at this. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among the saints as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So simply giving thanks and giving thanks properly, and the Lord is going to take care of those things. But how's it going to take care of those things? Why is it in contrast? Because those things are, if you look at fornication, because it's the first one that named, fornication is something that nobody's supposed to participate in. But does God give us a way out from those things? Yes. And should we pursue those with thanks? Yes, we should, if we need to. We need to pursue those and give thanks. So when you look at these issues, I think what conclusion you have to come to, and I may be wrong, that those things, if there was true thanksgiving for who you are in the Lord and for what the Lord's given you and all the benefits and the completeness that you have in Christ, that those things start to go away. Because you understand who you are in Christ and you're complete in Him, and you're going to give thanks for all those benefits that you've got, and you're going to be a grateful person who's not going to be able to go out and search for, oh, I need this because I'm not right. I need this because that's exactly what happens in 1 Timothy 4. So what it shows you is it can happen to you in the flesh, but it can happen to you in the religious world as well. Because what people do in Ephesians chapter, or in 1 Timothy chapter 4, where we saw the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, they say that Romans chapter 14 is just not good enough. It's not cut and dry enough for us. We've got to get some more clarification in here. We've got to add these rules, or these people are just going to run wild. Besides, people want to know what to do anyway, so we'll tell them. So what happens is, instead of giving thanks, we give them religion. And it happens, and it's a scriptural pattern that you can see happen. Because you see it happen in 1 Timothy chapter 4. You see it progress further in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where you have unthankful people, among other descriptions as well, that have a form of godliness. But do you know there's another key place where you can even see this pattern even in greater detail? And that is Romans chapter 1. So go look at Romans chapter 1. I have a hard time teaching without going to Romans chapter 1. Anything. Romans chapter 1 is just one of those chapters that everything seems to lead to. But Romans chapter 1 verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So when you look at Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 starts to tell you the wrath of God's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And it's going to show you a pattern. And this is a pattern that you can find anywhere throughout all time of how man reacts to God and how man thinks about God. So God says do this, this is what man does. And Romans chapter 1 gives us that pattern, and it gives it to us in great detail. And you can know that it applies. Some people say, well, isn't this about a specific time in history? Well, yeah, I'm sure it is. But it's also about all time, because you know that because in Romans chapter 2 verse 1, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man." Who is indicted on the basis of the information of Romans chapter 1? Man. So it applies to you, it applies to me, it applies to everybody out there. I can look at this and I can say, I can tell in the long run what's going to happen to you based on what you do up here in Romans chapter 1. So if you follow this path in Romans chapter 1, this is eventually where it's going to end up. And it's just unavoidable because it's God's Word and God's Word's true and God knows a little more than we do. Verse 21, Romans chapter 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Right there off the bat. They didn't glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful. That's a violation of give God thanks because He's what? Good. Don't glorify Him as God. He's not good. That's what people do. And neither were they thankful. Now you could trace this all the way back to the garden, right? Was Eve thankful being Eve? Absolutely not. How do you know she wasn't thankful being Eve? Because she wanted one step higher, right? Lucifer wanted to be like the Most High. Eve just wanted to be like the gods. She wasn't thankful. So you can see this, it goes back, and you can plug this in anywhere you want to, and you're going to see it play out. But what happens after people don't give thanks? They become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and verse 23, and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into image made like corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. So, you're not God, and I'm not thankful for that, so I'm going to start my own religion. Now what happens? They change the uncorruptible God into corruptible things, and they start their own religion. Why? Because they're just not thankful for who God is.
That's right.
They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Even when they know Him, they don't want to retain Him in their knowledge. But do you realize that that pattern is the same pattern that you see happen in 1 Timothy? These people are unthankful for what God has allowed them to do based on Romans chapter 14, so they start a religion. And here's another one, and maybe you might say, well, now you're stretching it. But just go to Colossians chapter 3 real quick. And then we'll go back to Romans chapter 1, I think. But Colossians... Chapter 3. And actually, go to Colossians chapter 2. I told you the wrong place. Colossians chapter 2, let's look at verse 5. It says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving." So when you get rooted and built up in the doctrine, you should be abounding with thanksgiving. Do you know why that is? Because that's the only proper response to a God who chose to have His Son die on the cross for your sins instead of sending you to hell for eternity. The only response you can have to that is, man, thank you. Thank you. But look at the very next verse. What happens? Very next verse. You have thanksgiving, and then what do you have next? Beware, lest any man what? Spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That's Romans chapter 1. Foolish imagination, or their foolish heart being darkened and their imaginations being vain. Okay, now we've got philosophy and these things are going on, and it says, I just lost my place looking at it here. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after rudiments of the world and not after Christ." Is that what you saw happen in 1 Timothy chapter 4? It is. It is. So I hope what you've seen now from 1 Timothy chapter 4, we've had Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, if you want to include that in there. and Romans chapter 1 that there's a pattern that when people aren't thankful, they're quickly going to run into religion and they're going to get in trouble. But back to Romans chapter 1 for a minute, because what happens in Romans chapter 1 is you have these people, they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Man doesn't want to retain God in his knowledge. He's not thankful. He creates religion, and then what does he run into? Anybody remember Romans chapter 1? If you get a chance, read it. Verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to their uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." That's the unnatural affection that you see in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the last days. And I know this sounds simplistic, but if you had to trace it back to the beginning, how could you stop that? Glorify God for who He is, Romans chapter 1, and give thanks, right? It's pretty simple. What's the solution in 1 Timothy chapter 4 so that you don't get caught up in seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? Thanksgiving. Understand Romans chapter 14. Be thankful that that's there and walk in it. Don't go back and try and change it, but we're going to rearrange it, make it look like the Old Testament. All right? That's a seducing spirit and a doctrine of devil that's going to lead you to problems. So what I hope you see, you're seeing here is that thanksgiving is not this thing, it's something we're supposed to be abounding with, but it's not just this feeling that makes us smile, but it is something that is so important to the doctrine, and it safeguards the doctrine, and it safeguards our heart from going out and chasing foolish things that are going to get us. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Don't participate in this, don't participate in that, don't participate in this, but rather give thanks. Well, why just give thanks? Because the pattern's given to you in Romans chapter 1. You can see it in 1 Timothy chapter 4. That if you back up there and you get to the giving of thanks part and walking in the doctrine and being thankful for what God has given us through the Apostle Paul for the Gentiles today, we can then walk in that doctrine, be thankful for it, and not be shooting off into these different paths. And we can go back to the very beginning and of how all this stuff works, talking about Romans chapter 1, and see that, okay, giving of thanks is going to safeguard my heart from all these things. So not to be oversimplistic, but doesn't Ephesians chapter 5 seem to be a little oversimplistic to you? But rather give thanks. That's why. Because Romans chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4, you see these things and you put it all together. Now, the next thing I want to go, and I'm going to start wrapping things up here. But in Romans chapter 14, the person who's bothered by the meat sacrificed to idols, what is he? What's he referred to? He's weak. So, doesn't it make sense that when Satan's going to go after somebody, he's going to go after who? The weak. And what's the easiest way to get the weak if you're going to mess them up on the doctrine in Romans chapter 14? Get the folks who want to be under the law, right? Go ahead and grab them. And I think that's an interesting insight that you need to see, that it just follows so many different patterns. Now, the next thing I want you to see is, isn't it fascinating to you that Paul opens up Romans chapter 1 and he gives you this list of how man reacts? And then he tells you what the latter days and the last days are going to look like in the dispensation of grace, and it follows the exact same pattern on either end of his epistles. From Romans to 2 Timothy, you see that when people stop giving thanks and walking in the doctrine the way they're supposed to, that bad things happen. Now, to take this a little bit further, is if I was going to take you to Romans chapter 11 and ask you what there would cause things to stop going the way they are today, what would you tell me? Romans chapter 11. Paul's speaking to the Gentiles here, to the Gentiles as a whole. He tells you that he's an apostle to the Gentiles. He goes through and he starts speaking to them. And he says here in verse 18, "Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off." Who's that? Israel. "But thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his" what? "Goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." And people say, well, what does it mean to continue in his goodness? Well, I think when you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 3, you can quickly see what it means not to continue in his goodness, right? Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. It tells you how people are not going to continue in the goodness. They're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're going to get involved in religious activity. And the immoral activity is going to quickly follow, because we know that pattern follows in Romans chapter 1, and it just can't be denied. But it's interesting that if thou continue in his goodness, what's the main reason in the Old Testament you should be given thanks to God? Because he's good and his mercy endureth forever. And it's just coincidence? I don't know. You tell me. I'm just showing you the verses. But you should look at these things and you should say, wow. You know, he gives the Gentiles three warnings there. He tells them not to be high-minded, not to boast. And where's the third one? We'll just talk about those two. Do those two have problems with Thanksgiving? Being boasting and high-minded? Is that a Thanksgiving problem? It is. Do people who are thankful boast?
No.
Do they boast? They don't boast about what they've done themselves, right? They say, hey, look. Romans chapter 10. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel," this is verse 1, that they might be saved, "for I bear a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." What's that sound like? Sounds like unthankfulness. I don't need your righteousness, I can make my own. Look, I can make a list this long. It's this. You see the patterns here? You see how Thanksgiving works? Do you see how it's right there in front of our face? Sometimes people say, oh, what are you going to teach? Oh, I'm going to teach on this. Oh, well, that's an easy subject. Well, sometimes the simple subjects are the hardest ones to teach on, because try and teach on love, right? Why is love hard to teach on? Love's a simple thing. Well, it's hard because the scriptures are saturated with it. And to really hunt things down and to figure it out takes some work. So what I want you to go away with today in conclusion is that if you're going to give thanks scripturally in the doctrine, seeing what God's done for you in Christ. And don't just think about it as something that, I need to give thanks today because God told me to. But think about it as something that safeguards our hearts from wandering into dark doctrine, wandering into seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's something that keeps us from doing that. But not only does it keep us from wandering those ways, but it also keeps us from wandering in the flesh, because it's given in contrast to fornication. We need to be thankful for those means of dealing with things that God has given us. Thanksgiving is one of those doctrines that you can just study your whole life and try to practice your whole life, and you're never going to exhaust it. And I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to study it. If anything comes out of me teaching you today, I hope it encourages you to maybe look at the scriptures a little bit more and say, why? Why should I give thanks more? Why do I need to understand this? Because it's probably more important than you think. Let's end with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your time, for our time in it. And we thank you that we do have your word preserved for us today, that we can study and use as our final authority, and that it helps us make sense of the world around us, and it helps us make sense out of our own selves. And we thank you for that guidance, but we especially thank you for your Son and his death on the cross for our sins. It's in his name, amen.
About 5 or 10 minutes, when you hear the music, we'll start right back.